This is Drew Mackey, and you're listening to Singing Mountain. Welcome back. Or I guess I should say thank you for welcoming me back, since I'm the one who went on hiatus. But yes, Singing Mountain has returned. I told you it would come back. If not on the regular week-to-week basis, then nonetheless posting new episodes through the end of the new year. It remains to be seen exactly what the production schedule will be like, but the fact is I missed it, I missed video game music, and I missed you all. Since last year, I've rethought Singing Mountain a bit, or kind of a lot. And because niche has always worked in my favor, I decided that I wanted to narrow the focus just to the music of the 16-bit era, which for now means games from the Super NES, Sega Genesis, and TurboGrafx-16, as well as those systems' Japanese counterparts. I may expand in the future, and I may even drop this format altogether at some point, but in general, restrictions help me feel creative, and it also relieves me of the very bad impulse to feel like I need to represent the greatest expanse of video game music history as possible, and that I've somehow failed if I don't do that in every episode. That was not a good feeling for me, and turns out you can dig through video game music basically forever and you'll never listen to it all. I can, however, listen to all the 16-bit music, and I'm in the process of doing that. 16-bit, after all, is where my heart lives, as I mentioned in the previous episode. I just like saying that. Other than that, the new episodes will feel more or less like the old ones. I'm still picking tracks around a theme, and yes, the theme is going to be pretty abstract more often than not, and hopefully I can create a vibe that you can get into. I have about 10 episodes planned out where the track lists are more or less in place, and if everything goes to plan, which this year nothing has, but whatever, I should be able to get all of them to you by the end of the year. Providing we are still here in 2021, there will be more after that, so fingers crossed on more episodes and also continued existence. You may remember that my last episode was a bit of a downer. Given the context, I think it was justified, but now that I'm back in production, I wanted to give you all something a little more hopeful, because I feel like we could all use a little more hope. The name of this episode is The End as a Beginning, because it's all about the very specific vibe of video game endings. Specifically, the part of the game that's usually when the credits roll, regardless of the genre of game, whether action or platformer or RPG or puzzle, it all kind of sounds like some 80s song. Notably, the kind of 80s song that would play over the end credits of an 80s movie, and yes, it's exactly what I think influenced this particular style of VGM finale music. They all sound like peacefully coasting over horizon into a sunset, with synth and mock guitars. I think that this episode's opening track, Sunset of Poyo Poyo, is a great example of that, and not just because it has the word sunset right there in the name. It is the ending theme to the 1991 Mega Drive puzzle game Puyo Puyo, which had previously seen a release on the Famicom before becoming a Sega property that ultimately came to the United States on the Genesis as Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. In fact, Mean Bean Machine's ending theme purposely echoes this track, for that very reason. And that's as good of a segue as any into the first block of songs. Coming up next, you're going to hear Setting Out, the perhaps counterintuitively named staff roll theme from Elemental Master, a top-down shooter released in 1990 by Technosoft, the company better known for the Thunder Force series of more standard space shooters. I was going to say that you don't see that many fantasy-themed shooters where you trade in bullets for, you know, magic bolts, but you actually do kind of a lot, and this is not the only one of those you'll hear from in this episode. The track is a banger composed by Toshihiro Yamanishi. And right before that, I'm giving you the ending theme to a game I'd never heard of before this week, Dino Land, a Namco pinball game released for the Genesis that is, yes, dinosaur-themed, and whose soundtrack is much better than what you'd expect when you hear dinosaur-themed pinball game. This track is composed by Ichihiro Hada. Go Dinosaurs! Hearing those themes really makes me feel like I've accomplished something, even if I'm only partway into this episode. I told you that the second song in this block was from a relatively obscure Genesis game called Dino Land. Well, the song after that, third in the block, comes from Dino Brothers 2, another lesser-known Sega title that also happens to star dinosaurs. Both Dino Brothers games were only released in Japan for the Mega Drive, and apparently they are simulation games that have you playing as various dinosaurs, each with their own special abilities, as real dinosaurs clearly had. Again, a much better soundtrack than you might expect when you think of cutesy dinosaurs, and this game's soundtrack was composed by Masami Yitsuse. Fourth and last in the block, we have Sunrise Purple, which is either the ending theme or an ending theme from the Mega Drive game Battle Mania Daiginjo, a Japan-only sequel to a game we actually did get here in the United States, but called Troubleshooter, rather than, you know, Battle Mania 1. Both Battle Mania games are scrolling shooters that have you controlling one of two sexy jetpack ladies who shoot things. Both games actually look really awesome. The Battle Mania Daiginjo soundtrack is credited to Shigenori Masuko, Yoko Suzuki, and Fumito Tamayama, but because I like to discuss the overall genre of video game music, I'll point out how weird it is to me that this sort of ending theme song exists in games of very dissimilar genres. I can't really think of two more unlike games than a dinosaur sim and a sexy lady shooter, yet the composers for both tracks chose to conclude games with bright poppy tracks that, again, sound like the synthy stuff we might have heard at the end of an 80s movie. What an interesting trend that they all signed onto without ever being told this is what the end of a video game is supposed to sound like. But I've always been most fascinated in the commonplace yet completely unspoken rules of video game music, and this is just maybe one of them, at least for the era. Do you know what else makes those tracks stand out from previous Singing Mountain episodes? None have been from a Super NES Super Famicom game. I'm making an honest effort to diversify. I actually spent the last few months working through a spreadsheet of every game released for all the systems I mentioned earlier, which by my count comes to 3,344 games, and I've been going through each one, sifting through one game's entire OST at a time, pulling tracks for inclusion in future episodes. As a result of this effort, you're going to be hearing from a lot of games that won't be super familiar to American audiences, and I'm really happy about that. I will still give you a lot of Super NES / Super Famicom music, don't worry, but just because those are the systems that I love most doesn't mean that I can't branch out and get outside of my comfort zone a little. To that end, the next block of songs all come from TurboGrafx-16 / PC Engine, but specifically that system's cartridge era, none of the CD-based stuff, because it just sounds too CD-based for me. I have to say, it's been a trip exploring this library of 16-bit games that just were never a part of my life. First up, we have the credit roll theme from Dungeon Master, an action RPG that Hudsonsoft put out for the TurboGrafx-16 in 1989. Composed by Tsukasa Masako, this track perfectly captures the sun is setting, I'm turning in for the night because I am exhausted because I just conquered a dungeon sort of feeling, which we are all familiar with. And following that one, we have Ending, parentheses, next time, from the game Shockman, which is a sequel to a game we didn't get here in the United States and whose original Japanese title translates as Modified Superhuman Shibibin Man. Shibibin Man. I guess Shockman is a little easier to pronounce, but there's something about Shibibin Man that has a certain charm to it. It is one of four games in a series from Messiah that all look very Mega Man-esque, and that's maybe why this track makes me think of Mega Man. Thank you. You are hearing the staff role theme from Magical Chase, a shooter released for the PC Engine in 1991, and then 2 years later for the TurboGrafx-16. The composers for this game are Hitoshi Sakamoto and Masaharu Iwata, who would later go on to be famous for their work on games like Ogre Battle and Final Fantasy Tactics. And while I can't find that many parallels between this track and the more dramatic work you'd hear in those games, I can at least say that Ripple, the young witch you control in this game, bears some resemblance to the non-traditional cute witches in the Ogre Battle games. It is maybe a coincidence, but Quest developed both games. And yes, this would be another shooter where it's magic character shooting magic rather than, you know, cyborg shooting bullets. Before Magical Quest, the third in the block, you heard the staff role theme from the game Cyber Knight, which was released for the PC Engine in 1990. It was also released for the Super Famicom, but neither version actually made it outside Japan. It is a robot exploration RPG, which is a genre I'm not sure I've ever actually encountered before. I cannot find the composer for the original PC version of the game, so if you know, please tell me, and I will update the show notes. You know, there's actually one more change, just thinking about, and I should probably mention. From here on out, the episodes will be somewhat shorter than the ones I was turning out before. I'm being more selective about which tracks I include. There's a lot of episodes on this show that I think are good, but maybe include a track or two that if I really thought about it for another 5 minutes, I would have scotched from the final version. They're just not as good as the ones I like, and I'm giving myself a little bit more time to mull over my selections and make sure that I like everything that goes into these episodes, and being a little bit more critical about what gets cut. The result is shorter episodes, but hopefully a greater percentage of winners. I mean, that's the goal. You decide if they're winners or not. Yes, it is true that recording shorter episodes does make my editing work a little easier, and that is something I thought about, but a higher level of curation should hopefully make the show altogether better. Coming up next, I'm giving you After the War, parentheses, ending, from Final Zone, an isometric shooter released for the Genesis in 1990. Yeah, a lot of shooters in this episode, I'm realizing. I maintain that this style of ending theme song is more universal than just shooters, but it just so happens that I have collected mostly shooters, which also I don't think has ever happened before on this show. Soundtrack for Final Zone is composed by Motoi Sakuraba and Masaki Uno, and it's a little more sober than the rest of this episode, but I'm still saying it has that quietly celebratory sailing into the sunset sound. Following that, I'm giving you a track that I'm pretty sure is not actually an ending theme song, but you would maybe be forgiven for thinking it was. It is BGM 3 from True Golf Classics Pebble Beach Golf Links. This is the Genesis version of the game, and without having played it, or really any non-Mario golf game in my life, I have to say that it sounds remarkably like the rest of the tracks in this episode for something that is apparently just mid-game music. The composer for this game was Yumi Kinoshita. And then after that, third, you're going to hear the ending theme to the Genesis game Mighty Max. Yes, Mighty Max in 2020. I get to name drop a franchise that I almost completely forgot about. I actually read that this particular game was not the greatest ever to play, but it sounds amazing thanks to a great soundtrack by Matt Furness, although he's doing it under the artist name Chrysalis for some reason I'm not clear about. But go Mighty Max? Mighty Max, Mighty Max? Thank you. And that's it. That block closed out with Returned Soldier's Rest from Super Star Soldier, which I keep accidentally speaking as Super Star Soldier, which would be a very different game. It is a Hudsonsoft game released for the PC Engine initially in 1990, and surprise, it is a shooter. I guess maybe the frantic action of a shooting game demands a certain sort of opposite of that mood payoff when you finally beat it, when you finally have shot everything, and maybe that is why so many shooter games end in this style. And yes, I am wrapping this episode up a little bit sooner than I would in a typical previous episode, but I think that's for the best. I went over this track list a few times, and I feel really solid about it. And I also feel really solid about bringing Singing Mountain back. Again, it's going to be a crunch every week. My other podcast, Gayest Episode Ever, is doing very well, and it takes up a lot of my time, and I actually am starting another podcast. I know. It's actually another music-related podcast, but not VGM at all. Look for that announcement soon. Now, here is a chunk of words that I have not spoken in a long time. If you have any questions, comments, or criticisms about Singing Mountain, the easiest way to reach me is on Twitter, either at DrewGMackie, M-A-C-K-I-E, or at Singmopod, S-I-N-G-M-O-P-O-D. You can also follow Singing Mountain on Facebook. Just search for Singing Mountain, click on the one that is not a bakery. And if you like pixel art, we are on Instagram as well. I'm still referring to Singing Mountain as we, even though it is seriously just me. Maybe my dog is the we. I don't know why I do that. Singing Mountain does have a Patreon, and I admit I forgot about it. I feel really bad. I just have to apologize that I was doing a lot of work, and for some reason, the idea that I was supposed to be maintaining the Singing Mountain Patreon just vanished. I'm going to say general 2020 stress is the reason that happened. I see a lot of you have canceled your pledges, and that's good because it means you weren't being charged. I feel bad. I think I might have said this in the last episode, but if you're someone who was continuing to pay money on a monthly basis when there was not even regular episodes of Singing Mountain coming out, much less bonus content, I am going to say that you can hit me up on any of the social media I just mentioned or on Patreon itself, and we can work out some kind of refund where I feel bad if you got charged for something you didn't get, and we all need extra money right now. I'm happy to give you those dollars back. All that said, I will be posting bonus content again. It'll usually be a no talk all music version of an episode that goes on the main feed, with the addition of some of the tracks that got cut, and also the interstitial tracks that I run under when I'm talking. They'll all be there. It'll be a longer thing you can listen to without having to listen to my annoying voice. So that will be the bonus content that will be going up from here on out. I may not do that for every episode because certain kinds of music won't really lend themselves to that, I would imagine. But if it seems like reasonably a human would want to listen to it, it will go up there. Yeah, that music that's playing right now, do you hear it? It's not as loud as the other stuff. I can turn up for a second if you want. That is also a piece of VGM, and you'll be able to listen to it properly on Patreon. All that stuff is at patreon.com/singingmountain. Another thing I haven't said in a while is I have one final track for you, because I can never get that far away from the Super Nintendo. The outro track is going to be from that system. It comes from Wild Guns, a Western game that combines steampunk and sci-fi elements for a really cool game that is a shooter. A lot of shooters in this episode. I really love this track, which is maybe the most 80s style cinematic of the bunch, and it seemed like a good way to conclude, but listen closely for a little element you'll hear around the 1 minute mark. It's a variation, I think, on the very famous part of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, the one we associate with like all Western shootouts and Clint Eastwood holding a gun. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I will do it, even though I've already said that I'm not the most musically inclined person in the world, but do-do-do-do-do, bum-bum-bum. Just that first do-do-do-do-do part, that is, I think, what this track is playing on, but it's doing it in a fairly subtle way that it doesn't seem like an obvious reference, and it doesn't seem out of step with what the rest of the track sounds like, and I think that's the mark of a very clever composer. They can do that. The clever composers in question for this game's soundtrack are Hiroki Iwatsuki and Haruo Ohashi. So, see ya. And in the not-too-distant future, actually.
Table Cakes production.